Yeah, I'm Josiah. I actually got to share my 180 story a couple of years ago where I talked about how sports and relationship were idols in my life, which actually isn't the whole story of my testimony. It's actually something I've always held back and actually don't really like talking about and I'm kind of scared to talk about, but I realized I shouldn't really be hiding the things God's truly done in my life. A big part of my life does have to do with sports. Can't tell by Simon's fun facts, but I've played and competed in them since I was five. In that same time, though, my family has always been very hard on me for performance, which always seemed to be bad. Never once heard that I played well. I never heard anybody tell me that they were proud of me. I'd get yelled at during every game and every car ride home. And this would normally ruin sports for most people, but it didn't for me because there really wasn't an area of my life that it wasn't like this. I was a straight-A student all throughout school, and I finished top of my class, but I got yelled at if I had a 95 in a class. I always seemed to mess up everything around the house, and I was made aware of how lazy and irresponsible I was, and I was always told of how scrawny and small and weak I was. Eventually, I learned that there was just something so wrong with me that I couldn't be loved. Now that leads me back to my sports obsession that really had nothing to do with sports. Anyone who knows me from high school knows how much I practiced. I practiced basketball more than people would work a full-time job. I pushed myself to the limit to be the best. I had a lot of goals set. Score 1,000 points. Didn't happen. Start all 4 years, being all-conference and an all-state player. The thing was, none of this was really for me. If I could do all these things, maybe I could earn my worth as a son, but now I'll be lovable. That's what the actual obsession was, a desperate desire to be loved. I spent most of my time practicing basketball, but I would go even harder during track season. I was a distance runner, and I would practice harder than anyone else in practice. I stayed after and ran. Then I would come home and run and work out more. My whole goal every single day was to go until I literally could not go anymore. I would do so many reps that I would go until I had to lay there so I could pick myself up off the ground. I would go on runs, and I'd push myself until my body would collapse, and I'd have to lay there until I gained the strength to drag myself home. I'd starve myself, and I absolutely destroyed my body day in and day out. And a lot of those things I realized I don't think my body will ever actually recover from. Then at every track meet, I'd push myself to the limit. After every race, collapsing on the ground, my chest pounding in pain, a lot of times blacking out and not being able to breathe. I was always called weak and out of shape for this. Then come my senior year, I realized I had asthma the whole time. Not great for a distance runner, by the way. I was doing all this for a sport I didn't really like, and I was actually forced to do, all in a desperate act to be loved. I don't really like talking about those things. This is where it gets even harder that I really don't talking about, even though I really probably shouldn't feel that way. But all the way from junior high all the way through high school, I really did not want to keep going. When I shot basketball, I really just wanted out of the house in a way where I couldn't hurt and disappoint anybody. What I did most of the time when shooting basketball was actually imagine that I just was not me. I don't really know how to explain this, but basically I kind of just like made up a person in my head and I imagined their whole life story and that I could live it. They were everything that I was not. Didn't even dream of a better version of me or my life. I so badly did not want to live my own life that I imagined I could live as somebody completely. I knew there was no redeeming my life and the person that I was. That going to bed every night was the worst. I could never sleep. That's where I could not escape the thoughts. I knew that sleeping meant I'd have to wake up and start another day. I really did not want to. Every night I tossed and I turned, crying and asking God why he created me such a failure, be worthless, someone who just can't be loved at all. I've always believed in God. It just always made sense to me. I went to church every Sunday. I'd read my Bible and I did the devotional every morning. I knew everything about what Jesus did for me, yet I was not sure if I could be saved. I'm very aware of how imperfect I am, and other imperfect people could not love me and had wanted nothing to do with me. How in the world could a perfect God love me? There was no way. Yet I still followed Christ because I knew he was worthy and he deserved my life, even if I wasn't able to be saved. I really do not want to live to see the next day, but I never did anything about it because I'm not a quitter and I don't like losing, so I was not going to lose this battle. Instead, I just put my head down every single day and I trucked on, never talking to anybody or doing anything about it. It's everyday life through junior high and high school. Coming to college, I considered going and doing a sport so I could finally prove myself, but I realized that actually just never would matter. Nothing I do would be good enough. So I finally accepted that I was just a failure and nothing would change that. So instead, I just come to Ohio University, where I was actually kind of connected to before I came. My brother came here before me. So at least that gave me something to do without sports anymore. I also came into college in a relationship, which I won't waste your time with. It was actually, the story just kind of lines up with my sports story. But that ended towards the end of my freshman year. Now I truly had nothing. I didn't have any friendships because I idolized a relationship the whole year and no sports, nothing to turn to. This happened also right before I headed to a mission trip to Ocean City, New Jersey, which I signed up for after winter conference, which is a crazy story, so ask me about that another time. And here's where my life finally changed. Here God met me, or really I should say, I let myself come to him. I had nothing to turn to but God. And I finally did. I turned to him and his word. I still remember reading 1 Corinthians 15 for the first time ever. I felt peace. Words in my Bible were just jumping off the page to me. These words were truly living and active, and every day my life was changing. Finally, I started to let go of all these things that were holding me back in my endless race to be perfect. I finally let myself kneel at the cross and admit I just can't do it anymore. I finally accepted I couldn't do anything to earn his love, but at the same time, I realized I did not need to. I mentioned earlier how I struggled to believe a perfect God could love an imperfect me. I was so focused on the fact that I was imperfect that I was forgetting that God is perfect, which means he has a perfect love towards us, which means there's nothing I could ever do to make him love me more because his love's already perfect. Nothing I could ever do to make him love me less. His love is perfect. This is how God worked a 180 in my life. I went from not wanting to live life to having life to the fullest. And I fully found it in God and him alone. I know it wasn't because God filled my life with anything like money or success, friendships or relationships. I know it was just him, because at a time where I had none of those things, I was the happiest I'd ever been. I had finally fallen in the arms of the Savior. He truly uses us. I now have a lot of incredible people in my life, and I've truly seen my family become softer and make more effort to love each other. And I want to tell you all something I wish so badly I could go back 10 years ago and tell a younger me. God truly does love you, no matter what others say or how they treat you. Yes, you are not perfect, and you never will be, but God is. He always will be. He just wants you to come home to the Father. He wants you, not performance, just you. And I promise you, there's no better life lived than one that has surrendered to the Savior. If you want to know more about the love that the Savior has for you, come find me after 180, and I'd love to tell you about this amazing truth. Bye, and that's my 180 story.